This morning, church, I want to talk to us quickly on a theme, a word for the world. Say that to your neighbor, a word for the world. There is a need for seed, and we have a word for the world. A seed is a symbol of life. That is the most basic function of any seed. It serves to keep a species alive or in existence. If there is no seed, then there is no continuity. And that's why Abraham and Sarah needed a seed, because they needed continuity. A seed is also a symbol of increase. It is a sign not only of potential life, but of progressive life. A seed is structured to keep the plant's embryo alive until the conditions are just right, perfect, for it to sprout root, grow, and ultimately yield and increase. In a time of barrenness and famine, church, there is a need for a seed. Within a single seed lies the possibility of many seeds. You see, when you plant a mango tree, it offers us a single tree. But that tree gives us many fruits, and with many fruits come many seeds. If we want to be fruitful, if we want to be productive, we have to be connected to the soil. In this parable spoken by Jesus, he uses this very vivid and clear imagery to bring across his point. Jesus spoke of the word of God as the seed in the text, and the different types of hearts or minds that the word encounters as are the souls that the word encounters as the soil. The gospel is preached, but the human heart can respond in several different ways. The story has some key components, and these are the components that I plan to key in on this morning. The components are 1, the sower; 2, the seed; and finally, the soil. Jesus explains the parable and tells us that the sower is the one who plants the seed. The sower is the one who engages on the mission field. The church is celebrating missions this month, or the focus for this month, the month of November, is on mission. The charge is to go, and it is a great charge. The world needs the word, and in this parable, Jesus explains to his disciple that the sower, who is the farmer, plans to bring the word to the world. He is the person responsible for getting the seed in the perfect place that it might grow. Just listen to verse 1 of Luke 8. It says, "And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and every village, preaching and showing the good tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him." Jesus was on the mission field. Jesus was sowing a seed. Church, God has called us to partnership with him and to sow seeds as well. I want to say, if you are a sower this morning, you must be driven by purpose. When I say driven by purpose, the Great Commission was given to us. We must be ready to touch the road. We must be ready to hit the highways and the byways. We must be ready to reach the lost for Christ. Oh, the Apostle Paul said, I became all things to all men that he might gain a few. What Paul was saying was that when him touched Tower Hill and him see the gangster them, him just roll up like a gangster and him give them the gospel. Oh, when him touching at a bar, him just roll up and hold a seat like him is a regular bar attender, and him just deposit and him leave some words. And Paul said, I did that I might gain a few, that I might get a little over here and a little over there. Because guess what? He was on a mission, and he was spraying souls. Oh, one songwriter said, I can't go back to the Father with an empty hand. I want one soul to carry go home. Is there a believer in the house that say, listen, me, I'm not going heaven by myself. I must carry at least one. I must carry my neighbor. I must carry my sister. I must carry my spouse. But I'm not going alone. I'm going to plant some seed because the seed going to bear fruit. This morning, I don't know about you, but I don't come to church to warm bench. I don't come to church to take up space. I don't come to church to practice social distancing. I don't come to church to look round and look about. I don't come to church to criticize. I don't come to church to look cute and to look dapper and to look sharp. Oh, I came to church to scatter seeds. I came to church to proclaim the good news. Jesus was going to every city and every village, and he was bringing what? Some good tidings. In a time of bad news, in a time when we turn on the radio and when we watch our televisions, we hear about crime, we hear about murder, we hear about violence. If we follow the news, we get depressed. If we follow the news, we get distressed. If we follow the news, we take up the parable that says there is no such thing as good news. But the Bible tells me different. The Bible tells me about a gospel, and the gospel is the good news of the kingdom of God. And if we have the good news, we must spread it. We can't make the bad news override it. Oh, as believers, as we scatter seed, we want to take on some honorable Portia Simpson Miller spirit. Oh, she said she was working. I hear Pastor Sam preach it a couple Sundays ago. Oh, working. Can I say to the spiritual farmers, grab your spiritual shovel. Grab your spiritual pickaxe. Grab your spiritual cutlass. Amen. Put on your spiritual water boot. Oh, in the name of Jesus. And go out on the mission field and start planting some seeds. Oh, if you're a believer in the sanctuary or a believer on social media, you must be willing and ready to go. Oh, Isaiah said, when God said, who will go? Isaiah said, here I am. Send me. Is there an Isaiah in the house this morning? Oh, Elisha said, listen me, I want a double portion of your spirit. If I go and go on the mission field, if I go and do the work of a prophet, I don't just want a portion. I want the portion of the eldest son, because they divided inheritance into three, into 33%. Three, and the oldest son would get the double, which means the oldest son would get 66% of the property or the asset. And then the second child would only get 33%. But listen me, Elijah said, listen me, no man, me are your child, and I want a double portion. And I hear the preacher this morning spoke about Elisha. Oh, if you're going to go on the mission field, you need to be ready like Elisha and say, I want some power. Give me power for this hour. Give me power for this age, because I have to make a difference. Oh, you might feel like you're old and you don't have much to offer, but I'm reminded of Samson, and him say, one more time, Lord. Oh, if somebody have to ask God to shake them again, stir them again, oh, jerk you up again, you got to get on the mission field. But the ultimate model is Jesus. Jesus says, I am the great physician, and I come for the sick. He said, I come to serve and not to be served. I come to do the work. Oh, he was by the well. And when he was by the well, the disciples had gone to get food for Jesus. But Jesus saw the woman of Samaria, and she came by the well to get water. And Jesus started to deliver some seed to her. And as he delivered the gospel seed, the disciples come with food. And Jesus said, my meat and drink is to do the will of my Father that sent me. I don't know about you, but my passion and my desire is to declare the word, is to scatter the seed. Oh, I'm reminded of Pastor Ryan Mark. Yeah, I'm named a pastor now. Yes, Ryan Mark do a tune, and I love this song. Him says, souls may I pray for the area. So no surprise when you see me in your area. Souls me a pray for that area. The world need for know that Jesus Christ as Savior. Oh, don't be surprised when you see me around a Mandela. A souls me a pray. Don't be surprised when you see me around a Mandela Terrace and Mall Road. A souls me a pray. Don't watch me. It might be COVID time, but a souls me a pray for that area. If you are pray souls, lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Yeah, man. And as we are moving by the push or driven by the Great Commission, we must be driven by the Great Commandment. When we touch road, ministry is about love. We must love people, and we must declare the love of God to people. Oh, the Bible says those who love God keep his commandments. This also means that those who are driven by the passion to sow are also driven by a desire to be pure, that they desire to be sanctified. Let me tell you something. There are different types of evangelism. When I was in school, Bible school, I learned some stuff. The three P's of evangelism. One is called presence evangelism. One is called proclaimed evangelism. And the other is called persuasive evangelism. Presence evangelism is an evangelism that is done without words. Just your lifestyle. Just your light to shine. Oh, can I say to the people of God, plug into God. Oh, when you are scattered seed, sometimes you don't have to say anything. But just your action speaks volume. Oh, in your silence, your life speaks loudly. And people see Jesus. I said, no man, the one you save. No man, the one you're sanctified. No man, this one belongs to God. No, this one is an example. This one's light is shining. This one is a salt in this age. This one is preserving morality. This one is shining bright as a light in a dark time. Oh, Jesus was ready to take on the work when he came into the temple and read a passage of scripture from Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 4. Within the Jewish culture, no one read this text because they said this text was reserved only for the Messiah. And so it was not read. But Jesus went into the temple, took up the scroll, and he read it. Hear what Isaiah 61 says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Oh, Jesus had some good news to deliver. And he said he had sent me to bind up the broken heart. Oh, some hearts need fixing and mending. To proclaim liberty to the captive. Some persons are trapped by depression. Trapped by abuse and pain and hurt. People are trapped by addiction and all type of trappings. Oh, but there is a word from the liberator for you. Oh, to open prison for them that are bound up. To proclaim the acceptable day of the Lord. And the day of the vengeance of God. To comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified, and shall build the old wastes, and shall raise up the former desolations, and shall repair the waste cities and desolations of many generations. Oh, Jesus came, and his message was a message of hope. His message was a message of life. His message was a message of liberty. His message was a message of victory, that death would not hold us down. But anybody who grab on to the gospel, grab on to resurrection. Oh, he says that, there's a song that says, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. Oh, Jesus says, the text says that Jesus will cause people to, oh God, take on joy instead of heaviness. Our praise instead of heaviness. They will take on beauty instead of ashes. Oh, the gospel is about exchanging some stuff. The next thing that comes in the text is the seed. The seed, Jesus says, is the word. I said earlier that a seed is a potential tree. And that a tree, and a seed is significant in order to have an harvest. And seed dispersal is critical for survival. Now, I did a little biological research. Seeds, it is said that there are five general ways in which a plant disperses seeds. The first one is gravity. The seed simply falls from the tree to the ground. The third one is wind. Sometimes we see some seed blowing in the wind. It is aerodynamic. The wind blows it and it lands somewhere and it grows there. The one that surprised me, I just learned about this one, is ballistic. Now, ballistic seed dispersal is when the fruit explodes. So the fruit gets ripe on the tree, gets to a certain point, and if no one picks it, it just pops open. And when it pops open, the seeds pop out and the seeds grow. That remind me of the day of Pentecost. Yeah, man, an explosive dynamite power. Another way the seed is dispersed is by water. Some seeds float away in the river and get to a different location and grow there. And some other seeds are dispersed by animals, either by attaching to them or when they eat it and pass out the waste. Sometimes we walk through some bush and it stick up our pants. Yeah, man, that's sometimes the seed sticking on our clothing. And when we pull off the seed and drop it, we are really dispersing the seed. But some of us don't even know that. We just pull it off and make our clothes look clean. And we drop it. But what we have just done is aided in the process of scattering the seeds. Can I say to us that in this pandemic season, the seed still has to be scattered? The church might have to be practicing social distancing. We might can't have convention like we want to. We can't set up no street meeting and no tent meeting like we want to. But the gospel is not under quarantine. The gospel is not under curfew. Amen, church. The good news is still needed, and the good news is still released. Oh, the Apostle Paul wrote to a young Timothy. When I read this passage, I love what Paul tell Timothy. In the backdrop is that Paul was in prison, and Paul write this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 8 and 9. Hear what Paul tell him. He says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. This is my good news. But not only that, he says, for which I am suffering even to this point of being chained like a criminal. Paul was saying, I'm in prison. But hear what Paul says in the next sentence. Powerful. He says, but God's word cannot be chained. In other words, while he was locked up physically in prison, Paul was saying the word can't get locked up. Oh, the word, the world needs the word, and the word cannot be stopped. The word cannot be contained or detained. Oh, the word and the gospel is still going to set people free. It still saves. It still sanctifies. It still delivers. It still covers. It still bless. It still beats the devil. And it beats him bad. Oh, the word of God is powerful. Oh, if we go and plant seed, I talk about the seed dispersal, the five different ways. I want to say to us that while we might be confined, we must Facebook, we must word up Facebook. We must word up WhatsApp. Amen, church. We must word up Instagram and Snapchat. We must word up YouTube and TikTok. We must word up the one with the bird, Twitter. We must word up Zoom. We must word up with email. We must spread the gospel by any means necessary. Oh, all when Jamaica under Tanner Yard orders from the most honorable bro God, Andrew Holness, the gospel still have to preach. Oh, we are bringing it uptown. We are bringing it downtown. We are bringing it round town. And we are dropping it online. Because like Ryan Mark said, we are pre-souls for the area. The farmer scattered seeds. Oh, he simply distributed them everywhere. He never looked upon one person and said, no, I know I'll give that one there. And look on another and say, I'm going to give that one. The text says that the farmer was indiscriminate. Him no watch no face. Him go every place. Him go up a garden house. And him go down a jungle. And everywhere him go, him leave the word. Oh, somebody need to bring the word with them. Turn the neighbor and ask them. To your neighbor and ask them, are you a seed carrier? And if you are carrying the seed, are you scattering it? Yeah, man. Yeah, man. As soon as we are praying for that area, we have to word up the place. Jesus spoke all of this into being by his word. God's word is powerful. God's word is the source of creation. This world and the universe around us was created by the word of God. It means that this seed, if the seed is the word, and the word is that creative thing that God created this out of. Now there was nothing, and God simply said it, and there was God's word. And the text says, this is what is the seed. This seed is potent. This seed is without fault or flaw. This seed is powerful. And so this seed is eternal. This seed builds faith, restores joy, brings peace, cancels doubt, remove fear, inspire hope. This word can raise the dead, cast out demons, deliver those who are bounded, men broken heart. Oh, church, this word can turn a gangster into a godster. This word can turn a gunman into a godman. Jesus said, DJ Nicholas said, away the godman them there. Away the Matthew, Mark, the Luke, and the John them there. Sold out for Christ, where the hand them there. Yeah, man, all of the devil plan, we're going to do what? Fan them where. Oh, we want to see men running into the kingdom. Oh, God's word can turn a gallus or a gal clown into a one burner, a faithful husband. This word can cause a man's pants to move from his knee and reach at his waist. And a woman's dress to move from her buttocks. Oh, to below her knee. This word can turn ordinary fishermen into powerful world changers. This word can change a young man like me who grew up in the inner cities of Jamaica. This word can revolutionize your world. It can revolutionize the world. But it can revolutionize your world. Oh, the writer of Hebrews said the word of God is quick and powerful. Oh, the word of God is transformative. But this is the text I want to use. Isaiah 55 verse 10 and 11 from the NIV. I love this one. It says, as the rain and the snow came down from heaven and do not return without watering and making bud and flourishing, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire to achieve and the purpose for which I sent it. Oh, in other words, God's word never fails. Yeah, man, Prime Minister word can fail. President word can fail. Dan man word can fail. Oh, some people go to the Obey man for a word, but that can fail too. Oh, some people go to the doctor for a word. I know it is pandemic time, but the doctor word don't hold more weight than the word of God. God word supersede every other word. Oh, some people, once I went to say, his voice makes a difference. When he speaks, he releases a troubled mind. Hallelujah, it's the only voice I know that makes a difference. And I will follow one day at a time. You need to follow the word. You need to word up yourself. Oh, there is a story of a centurion who came to Jesus. Oh, the story says that his servant was at home paralyzed and in a lot of pain. In fact, the word uses that he was suffering terribly. Yeah, man, in pain up, in mash up. And he was apparently on his deathbed. And the centurion said, go and find Jesus. Jesus can fix it. Jesus is the answer. And so he went to look for Jesus. And when he checked Jesus asked him a question. Jesus said, do you want me to come to your house? And the man said, Jesus, no, man. I'm not worthy. And you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word. Just say the word and it will be well. And he raised up an example. He says, listen to me. I am a centurion. I have 100 soldiers under me. And when I tell one go, he has to go. And when I tell one come, he has to come. If I possess that authority. But you are God. You are the Messiah. You have the power. So listen to me. If you just say it, I believe it. And so Jesus declared it. And the man go on his way. Oh, believers, we need to believe God's word. Oh, we need to have faith in the words and the person of Jesus Christ. His word is what counts. Oh, we must declare his word over our household. Declare it over our spouses. Don't curse your spouse and say them a devil. Because what you say is what you get. Oh, declare that they are saved. If they're not saved yet. Declare that the word of God will transform them. Declare the word over your children. Don't cuss them out and tell them worthless like them pooper. No, declare the word of God. Declare that they will be blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. Declare that they will excel. That the spirit of excellence is upon them. Word of your extended family. Oh, hallelujah. Speak the word over your health. Speak the word over your finances. Oh, speak peace over your house. Just shalom up the place. Say shalom. Yeah, man, we have to shalom up a home. Yeah, man. We must declare the word in our community. Oh, we must declare the word and dismantle gangs. We must declare the word and break addictions. We must declare the word and stop abuse of all forms. We must declare the word and declare healing for dysfunctional families. We must declare the word over our community and declare that unemployment must go. We must declare the word over our nation. Too much bloodshed about the place. Too much crime and violence. Too much injustice and corruption. Too much sexual immorality. Oh, we have a word for the lesbians and the queers and the bisexuals and the transgenders and the homosexuals and the pansexual and all type of sexuals. Oh, we have a word for them. And the word is not a word of condemnation. No, it's not a word of condemnation. It's a word of compassion. Oh, it's not a word of hate. It's a word that God wants to make you great. Again, not like Donald Trump. Oh, we must speak life over our economy. Oh, we must speak unity over our communities. Oh, communities that are divided by politics. Oh, communities that are divided by classism. People that are divided by their level of education and social standings. Oh, we come against it in Jesus' name. Oh, but church, when last your word up yourself? When last you say, I'm the head and not the tail? When last have you said I'm the lender and not the borrower? When last have you declared that you're going over and not under? When last have you declared that I am more than a conqueror? When last have you declared that I'm a child of a king? When last have you declared that I'm blessed in the city and in the field? When last have you declared that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me? Oh, word up yourself this morning. Oh, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's word is full of life. And Jesus declares, my words are spirit and they are life. Oh, this is the seed that must be invested in the soil. Oh, this is the right seed for the soil. Oh, and I'm getting to the final point, which is the soil. The soil is about the human heart or the hearer of the word and how they respond. The farmer knows that the soil is of great importance. This is where he places the seed. There are different types of soils. There are soils that are fertile and soils that are infertile. But if the sower wants to get a bountiful harvest, then he needs fertile. He needs good soil. When the powerful word is applied to good soil, it will bring about big results. And so the farmer was distributing the seed. As he distributes the seed, proclaims the word. Jesus declares this in the parable, that there are four types of soils. Four of them, three of which are unprofitable, and one which is good. In other words, Jesus was seemingly saying, one out of every four is good soil. One out of every four hearer is good soil. And if we do the math, or the maths, if we do the thing, we would recognize that that is talking about a mere 25%. That, oh, look at your neighbor and say, I hope you're in the 25. I hope you're in the 25. Yeah, man. All right, let me kind of just run it fast and wrap it up because time is upon me. The text offers us a possibility of great increase when the seed is placed in the right soil. The first soil that Jesus raises up is what is referred to as the way, the wayside or the pathway in some other version. This soil is a soil where the seed just bounces off it. The seed doesn't get to find space in it. The seed hits the ground and it bounces off. This, Jesus says, is the person who hears the word and it has no effect. I am reminded of Moses and Pharaoh. Pharaoh was one of these pathway hearts. The Bible says his heart was hardened. And no matter how Moses came and said to him, let my people go, he would not let them go. And even when 10 plagues hit him, and the final one was the death of the firstborn male child of his kingdom, and he finally released the people, and we thought that Pharaoh's heart had changed. The Bible tells us that when they left Egypt, he pursued them again. And him go back for them, his mind changed. Can I say to us that there are some hearts that are tough. Some hearts that are unresponsive. Oh, some ears that hear but cannot hear. Some minds that can perceive but can't understand. Some eyes that can see but they just don't get it. These are they that are the first soil. The second soil is the rocky one. Here the ground is shallow and underneath are rocks. And so the root cannot sink deep. And so it springs up quickly. Jesus says that these are the ones who hear the word and they get excited. Oh, they jump up on the bench. They jump on the floor. They cry, they bawl out, they shout, and they're excited. And they spring up quickly. But when the heat hits them, they die. They die because the root has not sinked into the earth to pull up the necessary minerals and water and nutrients to keep it alive. And so they quickly vanish. We baptize them and within a month, them gone. And even though we try to disciple them, they can't be discipled. Because they are, oh God, rocky ground. Infertile. They cannot stand the test of time. The next soil, the third type, is what is called thorny ground. Here the word takes root and it grows. But as the word is growing, thorns are growing with the word. And so these stay at church a little longer than the rocky ground set. They are here and they're around and they are involved in church, singing on the choir. But they are still struggling with the same problems that they had before they got saved. Oh, them still a bun a spliff. Still a join lotto line. Still a gambler, you know? Still addicted to sex. Still trapped by the same trappings that had them before they were delivered by the word. So they get baptized and they are growing in the faith. But while they are growing in the faith, there is a stronghold. A stronghold that is trapping them. And these, the text says, are choked out by the thorns. That ultimately, they don't make it. They fall away. But then there, the text goes on to the fourth and final soil. This soil is called the good soil. This soil is the soil that is right and ready to receive the word. Oh, Jesus says that this soil retains the word. And that the devil cannot steal the word from out of this soil. Oh, none of life's struggle and powers can overpower the work of the word in this soil. Oh, the seed grows and it brings about a production of plenty. This seed will endure cold weather, the weather of winter. This seed will endure summer and its heat. This seed will endure the hurricane season. This seed will pull through a drought. This seed will remain. Oh, the psalmist declared, like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth its fruits in its season, so shall the believer prosper and bear fruit. Oh, a couple weeks ago I spoke about from empty to plenty. Oh, some of us might not have had any fruits now, but our leaves are not withered because we are planted by the rivers of waters. We are planted in Zion. Yeah, man, we're planted by the source. And because we are right beside the source, we know we're going to pull through. And when we see so come, we're going to launch out. When we see so come, we're going to bear fruit. Oh, we're going to flourish. Oh, there is a little slang that is about now. We're going to be growing and glowing. Touch your neighbor and say, grow and glow. Yeah, man. Jesus declared that some would grow 30 folds, 60 folds, and 100 folds, are 100 times more than that which was sown. Oh, your faith in the word and perseverance will create the right condition for you to bear much fruit. Oh, your increase is coming. Oh, like as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, 6 and 9, I planted the seed, Apollo watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded accordingly for their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. Yeah, man. And so, Pastor Sam Water, yeah, man, and Pastor Craig Plant, but only God can bring the increase. Oh, can somebody say, oh, God of the harvest, bring an increase. Bring an increase in my space. Only God can bring the increase. In concluding, this text calls us to do some reflection and some introspection. It's a time for self-examination. We have to check out yourself. Get with spiritual stethoscope and check your heartbeat. Yeah, man. We have to get, what is that little light that they shine in your ears and check? You know, I don't remember what it means. Maybe Pastor Craig's wife could tell me if she was here. Yeah, man. Yeah, man. You have to check yourself. You have to get your thermometer and check your temperature. Yeah, man. Your temperature was checked this morning before you enter the sanctuary. And as you check your temperature, what you want to ascertain or find out is this. Is my heart a tough pathway heart? Have I been hearing the word, but it has been of none effect? Am I a rocky heart? A heart that received the word and I'm excited. But after I'm excited, I don't follow nothing where it says. Am I a heart that I've received the word and I come to church consistently, but there's no growth in my life? Some habits, some addictions, some people that I entertain, some stuff there that keeps me stuck, and it's hindering, hampering, aborting, curtailing my growth. Or am I a good heart, a good soil, a noble soil that has received the seed of the word, and it is germinating, and it is growing out? Now this fruitfulness reflects itself in what I want to call character and charisma. Whenever the believer is subjected to the word, he's subjected to the spirit. And when you're subjected to the spirit brings charisma. Charisma is about power. We get power. But the spirit also brings character. It brings gentleness, kindness, patience, self-control. So that's one perspective of looking at the fruit. But with the character and the charisma, we have the ability, the perfect marriage to win souls for the kingdom. And so fruitfulness should also manifest itself in us bringing others into the fold. One songwriter said, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing. Bringing in the sheaves. Jeremiah says that God would no longer write his commandments on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, or the heart of flesh. This morning, I want to challenge us as a people. Which heart are you? The seed, the powerful, potent seed of God's word is being scattered, has been scattered, continues to be scattered. But what impact has it had on you? If you're on social media and you're a backslider, somehow the world choked out the seed. Somehow life and its struggles choked out the seed. But you want to get growing again. You want to start growing again. Can you just type salvation right now? If you're on YouTube, type salvation. If you are on Facebook, type salvation. If you're listening and listen to us radio, just shout salvation where you are. If you're in the sanctuary and you know that the seed hasn't hit your soil right. It hasn't hit your heart right. You're a hearer, but you're not a doer. James says we must receive the engraft word, which is able to save our souls. Can we stand in the house this morning? God has given a word for the world, but he has given a word for you and I. This word is about making us fruitful and profitable. You see, a seed is destiny revealed, concealed, sorry, because you have to bury it. You have to bury it. When you bury it, you don't see it again. You don't know what's happening under the soil. You water it. It's concealed, but it is potent. And when the increase comes, that is destiny revealed. So it's concealed in the word. But as the word hits our heart, oh, the increase brings a revelation.